What the fuck is up? Jason Bacon's in the house. Hercules in the house. Good to see you, motherfuckers. Can you hear me? I don't know why, but I always feel like I'm gonna have more technical difficulties, you know? Like, for real. That's what it feels like. Can we make it through this podcast without any technical difficulties? We'll find out, because it's been a tradition. Like, right now, I'm fucking paranoid. I think I got everything set up right. But then a part of me is like, nah, something's got to go wrong. But then a part of me is like, if something doesn't go wrong, did I break tradition? And am I going to die now or some terrible shit? Fucking some Final Destination type situation. All right, we're about to get this podcast started, motherfuckers. A couple of things I wanted to talk about today. I got to make this kind of fast because I got to pack up for tomorrow's flight. Plus, I got a friend coming in town, Ashley, who's like the manager of the Vulcan Gas Company down in Austin. She's going to be in town, going to hang out with her and stuff. So I got to bust my ass to make this podcast roll. So here are the things I want to talk about before we get this thing started. I got bumped by Ron White at the Comedy Castle. Part of me feels like that sucks, but at the same time, part of me is like, hey, that ain't too bad. And also wanted to talk about the podcast I had yesterday with Jeff Horst. We kind of got into it about, you know, Democrats and Republicans, and, you know, he's all like, oh, the Democrats ain't that bad, or they're not as bad as the Republicans. And I kind of wanted to talk about that, you know. You know, and then I kind of wanted to talk about ridiculous eyebrows. These eyebrows that women are doing right now, and how crazy it is that women are so concerned about their looks, you know, and that we men, you know, I think a lot of us really don't care about the makeup. And then they, you know, you find out that they only wear makeup to impress each other. It's really weird. Anyways, I kind of wanted to get into that. I'm going to try to make this as quick as possible. Maybe not too quick, but let's get this bitch started.
Public Yemeni number one.
Motherfuckers, we alive. I'm probably going to get too much resin on my camera by blowing smoke into it. I hope you guys enjoyed the podcast yesterday that I had with Jeff Horst. I love Jeff. Jeff is a fucking great guy, man. He really is. He's a funny-ass comic. Cool-ass dude. And, you know, he's on the right side of history. You know, he's one of those people that are on the right side of history. You know, he's using his comedy to enlighten people about the plight of minorities and black people in America, especially at the hands of white people. And, dude, I think it's great. People like Jeff Horst are just amazing that we have people like him in this world, you know, that we have people like him who are really concerned about those that are downtrodden. You know, even with him being a vegan now, you know, he's just fucking great guy, man. I love Jeff so much. But after talking to him yesterday, I was like, man, we are all fucking hypnotized by this two-party system. So much so that we think that the party that we vote for is a little bit better than the other party. Whether you're Republican, whether you're Democrat, whichever it is, you're going to look at the other party as evil. And what you can't realize is that they're both fucking evil. They're both evil by the default of having to fucking work with each other. Democrats cannot exist without Republicans. Nancy Pelosi cannot exist without Mitch McConnell. I don't know if many people understand that shit, or they can't see that shit. What's funny is that I know people that can see through that, but then they still play the game. Like yesterday, Jeff and I got into it. And after talking to him, I, you know, I got to like watch the video again. I'm going to play some of it right now. I could have done a better job in cornering him in some of the deflections that he was throwing. You know, I find that when we talk about politics in this country, because it's a two-party system and it's so polarized, we all act as if we're narcissists now, right? We talk to each other about, in a way, about politics as a way that a toxic person in a relationship would, right? Like a toxic person in a relationship would, instead of meet you head on about the problem that you pose, they instead will try to deflect the problem onto another problem, or deflect the problem on you, or deflect the problem on something else, instead of actually going, hey, wait a minute, yeah, let's talk about this problem that you posed. Instead, you're going to get, oh, I'll tell some a Democrat something that I did that Obama did, which I love to do, especially as a liberal. I really want to focus on like how horrible Obama was, because in our minds we thought that, my God, he was such an amazing president. And then when you really look into it, you're like, he's a fucking piece of shit. And the thing is that when you confront people about this stuff, what do? They won't talk about the problem. They deflect and gaslight, and they talk over you. And Jeff did that a lot yesterday during our podcast. And I don't think it's any fault of his, really. It's just his opinion. It's how he looks at things. But I really do think it's conditioning. I think we've all been conditioned to look at our teams and be like, you know what? We're just going to protect this fucker. We're going to do whatever we can to just deflect any type of criticism of this person. I'm going to play you a little something from yesterday's podcast. It'll probably go for about 2 or 3 minutes. But I just want you to watch, okay? And I don't want you to watch this in a way that, like, you're looking down at Jeff or anything. This is a thing that I think all of us do, even myself. Over the years, I'm training myself to be more of a centrist in debates. Not necessarily a centrist in my life, right? Because I can't be a complete centrist. There are things that I lean liberal, mostly. And there's things that I lean conservative because I listen. I listen and I want to learn more. And I've been getting better at that. So if somebody comes at me with a, yo, this politician you think is cool is a piece of shit because X, Y, Z, what I used to do was be like, oh, no, look at this other person. He's worse than the guy that we're talking about, the guy that I like. I don't do that no more. Now in conversations, especially in debates, I go out of my way to be a centrist in debates. Now, talking to Jeff in this podcast, there's a moment where he was really like cutting down on centrists and saying that there's no real thing as a centrist. Anybody who claims to be a centrist really doesn't believe in it. They just want to appease everyone and so on and so forth. And I honestly think that type of mindset, and I'm hearing this a lot, especially from liberals, like looking down on you for being in the middle. When it comes to talking about something, they want you to be like, no, you got to put your foot down. You got to be liberal. And that's it. It's like, no, bitch. Just because I lean liberal and I feel liberal about a certain cause, sometimes I got to listen to the other side, because maybe the conservative people have a better approach to this liberal problem, right? I think liberals are very good at going, hey, we have a problem here because we feel bad about what's happening, and we want to highlight that. We're like, hey, this doesn't make me feel good. I empathize with these people that are hurting, and I want to save them, and I want to protect them. But a lot of the times, man, liberals as a whole, we have a pie in the sky type mindset where we want to fix a problem and we think we can just throw money at it. And a lot of us liberals, we don't even understand how money works half the time, you know? And I don't know. To me, it's like, I think it's good to exercise being a centrist in debates. You don't have to be a centrist in life, but in debates, open your mind. Listen to the other side. Now, I want to play this thing with Jeff, and, you know, I may pause it here and there. you know, from doing this podcast yesterday, I realized I really need to be more vigilant on stating my case and latching on to these deflection tactics that a lot of people do. But I love this podcast yesterday. I don't want anybody to think I'm mad at Jeff. If you watch the way we debate in this, it's actually great. You know, we do it respectfully. Yeah, we're talking over each other. Yeah, we were disagreeing and we're raising our voices and we're kind of getting emotional about that stuff. But there's much respect and much love. And I think that's the beautiful thing about actually having a discussion with somebody face to face instead of doing it on Facebook. There's been times that me and Jeff have debated on Facebook. And it almost feels like he hates me. And I'm sure he feels it almost feels like I hate him. But that's not the case. Because you lose all of the human connection that you have with someone when you're debating with them. Even though me and him were yelling at each other, you could tell we still were respecting each other. Anyways, let's watch this real quick. And, you know, I just wanted to break it down. And, yeah, so let's pop it up on the screen. Trumpers are.
The Trumpers were the biggest political, like, cult that I think that I've ever seen.
Biden is a piece of shit.
Sure.
He's always
but
been
I feel
a
like
piece
Democrats are willing to be like he's less of a piece of shit than Trump.
Oh, and that's the narrative every four years.
Sure. But then the Trumpers are just like, oh, but this is the difference, is that to me, Democrats are willing to admit that their candidate is a piece of shit, but just they just happen to like him better than the Republican. And the Republicans are delusional or like,
what
no.
What kind of fuck?
Trump is perfect. Everything about him is perfect. There's women that have Trump dildos that
so
want to fuck Trump.
All,
and it's just like, no, I see that both
you're debating,
sides can be shitty,
but you're,
but you're delusional
wait,
over
wait,
here
wait,
on
wait,
the right.
Wait. You're debating.
Clearly, basically, Republicans are delusional.
No, but
financially, trickle-down economics has never worked in this country.
You think Democrats are not delusional, bro?
Far less
what
delusional.
What you just did right now. Hold on a second. Far less delusional. That's where we're at right now. He's acknowledging how fucked up this whole fucking system is, but he's chosen a team. I think it's okay to choose a team, but when we're in debating, man, we got to really, like, open up our minds to what the other person is saying and you know, let it bounce around in our heads a little bit. Let me play some more of this.
They're not worshiping their candidates.
Hold on a second. What you're doing right now is just basically saying both sides are fucking delusional, but my side does it with class. What the fuck was that? It's like, our side is like, hey, well, we're going to vote for him. Yeah, we kind of know he's a piece of shit, but there he is. But the other guys are like, no, he's not a piece of shit. He smells good.
I'm saying that they're both pieces of shit, but I don't think they're both delusional. I think the Republicans are delusional.
Democrats have shown me right now.
Democrats are pieces of shit.
Democrats have shown me more and more now, especially during the pandemic, that they are just as fucking delusional as the Republicans. Even not more so. Democrats have this
mentality. Democrats were the only ones during the pandemic that had anything of that would have ever helped anything. Republicans were just anti anything Democrat. Republicans didn't have anything. They were just like, let's pretend.
You're acting like that wasn't happening.
You're
acting like it wasn't happening the other way too. The funny thing is to me, what's funny is that like this two party system has got people like you, who are very smart, well intentioned. To start debating semantics that don't fucking mean shit. To me,
the two-party system also has people that they come to the center. There's people that come to the center legitimately because.
And this is an argument I get a lot from Democrats. They start telling you that you're a centrist and that being a centrist is a bad thing. Let's just continue.
They don't like either side, or they like a little bit of both sides. And then there's people that come to the center because they just feel like, well, now I'm better than everybody because I can see the faults in everybody. So not like there's some people that are fake centrists where it reminds me of like.
And he's right. There are fake centrists. There are definitely people out there that they're not real centrists. They just want to appease people. You know, and he's going to talk about comedians, and it's true. This is true. Those people do exist. But why are we focusing on those dingbats? why aren't we focusing on the centrists that are actually listening and batting around ideas as opposed to just one-upping how the other side is worse? You'll always get this, hey, look what Trump did. Yeah, but look what Obama did. He did this thing worse. That's toxic. We are in this country with this two-party system. We are caught in a narcissistic relationship. And both sides are gaslighting each other. It's very toxic.
What bothers me the most is when I see, and I'm sure there are real people like this, but there's not as many that claim. I don't believe there's as many centrists as claim to be centrists, especially comedically. There's so many comedians, they don't want to lose half of the audience.
I agree with this.
Instead of just not talking about politics, they just pretend they hate everybody. When I know they don't, they just want everybody in the audience to like them. So to me, that's what a centrist most often is. I'm not going to say all the time, because everybody can, there are legitimate people that might see a little bit both sides. But to me, there's way more centrists that are just like patting themselves in the back of like, I'm better than everybody because everybody's wrong except for me. Fuck the Democrats. Fuck the Republicans. I got it. I found this magical recipe of all that that is in, and it's and they just bathe.
See, people
in their own
like you are people like you are ruining this country.
No,
seriously.
To me,
people
Republicans
like you
are
ruining
evil.
This fucking country.
To me,
bro.
Republicans are evil. Liberals
really?
are pieces of shit.
Oh my god.
But that's not great.
Hold on a second.
It's not great.
Hold on a second. Talk about evil. What in the fuck does that mean? I gotta pause this for a second. Republicans are evil. Democrats are pieces of shits. Guys, this is where we're at right now. Basically, politics in America is this. Hey, guys, on one side is a steaming hot bowl of shit. And then on the other side is another steaming hot bowl of shit. But this one has a cherry on top. And half of America is like, ooh, cherries. And then the other half is like, I can't have cherries. I'm on keto. This is politics in America right now, guys. What the fuck? Obama dropped 20,000 fucking bombs in the Middle East.
You know, Trump did more than that.
Boom! Did you just see what he did? If I told you a president that you didn't like dropped 20,000 bombs in the Middle East, you would investigate that. You would actually go, what? He did what? But we're not met with that anymore. Now we're met with, yeah, but look what the other guy did. Listen, I broke up with my last girlfriend because she was gaslighting me in that way. What the fuck? I'm not standing for that in my own relationships, let alone in our country. The majority of these people that use these gaslighting tactics to protect the political party that doesn't even fucking know or care about them is toxic. If somebody was to use that type of argument tactic, that gaslighting, deflecting tactic in your own relationship, you would be like, this person needs to get the fuck out of my life. But yet in this country, the two-party system has got us playing this fucking game. And there we go, guys. You just fell into my trap. This is so fucking
No, it's not a
amazing.
Trap. I'm saying, why are
it's
you...
It's so amazing.
I'm saying you don't
let
get
me
to...
Tell
that's
you
what I said.
Let
evil and piece of shit. That doesn't make... That's what I said. Hold more is worse.
Hold on a second. Hold on a second. You want to go more is worse? Let's do this then. You got to stop thinking in a clock that only happens after Trump. Let's go before that. Let's go
Bush.
Before. Hold on.
Before then,
Let's
Bush
go
was
before
the worst
that.
President
Let's
of all time.
Go before that. So,
well, not worse.
So
Reagan.
Bush, you see how he only stuck onto Republicans? I go, let's go before Trump. And he skips Obama. And he goes, yeah, Bush was a horrible president. Well, not before that. Then he skips Clinton, the other Bush. I'm sorry, but when I see people talking like this, man, it's like I just want to shake them. You know, I really want to be like, yo, wake the fuck up. Wake the fuck up. Mr. War Criminal himself, who everyone is doesn't have a problem calling a war criminal because he's white.
Mm-hmm.
Then we get a black president
mm-hmm.
who comes in and tells us that he's going to reduce the wars.
Mm-hmm.
Takes us from two wars to fucking seven.
Sure. Yeah.
Drops 20,000 bombs. Becomes one of the first presidents to run out of bombs. Does a fucking drone program in Yemen, obliterating my fucking homeland.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody in this fucking country gave a shit because our media, which leans left, was only reporting other fucking shit because they loved Obama.
Sure.
And then all of a sudden, Trump becomes president, and now, oh my God, he increased the bombing in Yemen.
So fuck both of them is what you're saying, right? Why are you signaling Obama as if he's the only one?
Because I'm saying
when they've all done this.
Fuck what you said earlier. That Democrats are not evil.
Oh, so you're just basing evil only on who bombs where you're from. Is that what you're specifying?
He's not the first person to throw that argument to me, and I think it's sick. I think it's a talking point that a lot of like Democrats are running around with. They try to minimize the fact that my homeland is getting blown up by their president. By saying stuff like this. Oh, so the only thing that matters in this world is your people getting obliterated by our bombs? I have family over there. I would say that's very important. Arab lives don't matter to us in this country. I love Jeff, but I highly doubt he would be speaking like that if the country we were bombing were Jewish people. That's a fucking fact. And that's no fault to anybody else. We're just programmed to feel that it's okay to talk like this. So to me, it's just like, it's absolutely disgusting to see, you know, how we've become in this country in terms of our politics. How we've actually decided that, you know, fuck it. Let's just talk about the other person. Let me just show you what made me not vote for Obama the first time. Okay. It was during the debates with McCain. And I believe this is the video here. Yeah. Okay. I want to play this video of the first debate that Obama had with McCain. I really care about the war and our war machine. And Americans have been, you know, we've been led astray to stop paying attention to the type of destruction our war machine does and how every president, the war machine increases in intensity, right? There's a lot of money to be made in war, which is why we are programmed to not really pay attention to it. I do. I'm an Arab. I have family that could possibly be destroyed because of our war machine. And I have liberals that try to disregard that as whatever. And it's fucking sad. And that's why I like focusing on Obama. Because he was supposed to be the great savior. Now, I don't know if anybody remembers when Obama was running for president. As he was running to be the sole Democrat to be nominated as the presidential nominee, meaning that he was now debating against Democrats to get the Democrats to say, yes, we want you to be the presidential nominee. All he was talking about was ending the war in Iraq, ending the war in Iraq, ending the war in Iraq, anti-war. We don't need to be in Iraq. They had nothing to do with 9/11. There were no weapons of mass destruction. Let's get out of Iraq. Let's end the wars. And then he finally became the sole Democrat to become, to go up against McCain. And in the first debates, you can see what I'm going to play right here. His signaling to the military industrial complex that even though he said we should end the war in Iraq, He was going to make sure that they knew that if you made me president, I will keep you in business. This, when I saw this in 2008, that's when I was like, I'm voting third party, because I'm not going to allow my soul, even if that thing doesn't exist, even if it exists, to be attached to a fucking warmonger. This is before he became president, and I saw the writing on the wall right when he said this. Now, McCain and Obama were debating about what to do with Iraq. Now, listen to what Obama says. Let me make sure I got the,
before we went in. But we have four times more troops there than we do in Afghanistan. And that is a strategic mistake.
Let me pull it back just a little bit.
Now, having resolved Iraq, we'll move to Afghanistan.
Actually, let me go to the other video. This is the video I want to play. Here we go. Now, he sneaks this in. Now, listen very carefully.
There is nobody who can pose a threat to us there.
He's talking about Iraq. Okay? He's talking. Now, he's staying on the topic that he's been doing the whole time before this moment, saying that we need to end the war in Iraq. We need to end the war in Iraq. We need to end the war in Iraq. And now he's talking about how Iraq is not a threat to us, and we already have too many troops over there.
This is a time when bin Laden was still out, and now they've reconstituted themselves. Secretary of Defense Robert Gates himself acknowledges the war on terrorism started in Afghanistan, and it needs to end there. But we can't do it if we are not willing to give Iraq back its country. Now, what I've said is we should end this war responsibly. We should do it in phases. But in 16 months, we should be able to reduce our combat troops, provide some relief to military families and our troops, and bolster our efforts in Afghanistan so that we can capture and kill bin Laden and crush al-Qaeda. And right now, the commanders in Afghanistan, as well as Admiral Mullen,
did you guys see what he just did there? Basically, what he just did there was, for the entire time he was debating Democrats, hey, no more war. Got to pull out of Iraq. Then he gets nominated. Now he's on the stage with McCain, and he's like I said, we need to pull out of Iraq, but focus our attention on Afghanistan. All that is, motherfuckers, is just a way for the machine to keep going. The military machine will always keep going if we keep voting fucking turds like Obama, Bush, Trump, you fucking name it. I mean, here's the thing. And I hate to fucking do this because, like, you know, Democrats hate fucking hearing this fucking shit. You know, they talk about how, like, Republicans are delusional. Fucking Democrats are so fucking delusional. So delusional. America dropped 26,171 bombs in 2016. Especially towards the end of Obama's presidency. He ramped it up big time. Like it says right here, what does the administration have to show for 8 years of fighting on so many fronts? Terrorism has spread, no wars have been won, and the Middle East is consumed by more chaos and divisions than when candidate Barack Obama declared his opposition to the invasion of Iraq. 26,000 fucking bombs, people. CNN, the U.S. is running out of bombs to drop on ISIS. So listen, I mean, I'm just highlighting this just one more time. Anybody who watches this, please stop picking a team. You're ruining America. We're fucking ruining it. When I told fucking Jeff that he's ruining America, you fucking are. Sure, you're helping with what you're doing in terms of bringing justice and highlighting what's happening to black people. But then you're being pimped out by this fucking machine that all it does is pimp you out to keep them in business. Like I said before, Nancy Pelosi cannot exist without Mitch McConnell. She needs the boogeyman. She needs Trump. She needs Trump to be this thing that's out there for her to be like, look at how bad this man is. Give me money so I win next time. And that's the game that we're fucking playing. And to me, I find it sad that when I find smart friends of mine just falling into this trap and then going out of their way to make me feel bad for not wanting to vote for a president that I know is going to try to obliterate my people. It's fucking crazy. Listen, I can't fucking be doing this for too long. Look, it's already 30 minutes. Bro, the time fucking flies, man. I think I'm getting better at this. Hercules says Trump 2024, baby. Hercules, you're banned. I'm going to ban you now. Jason Bacon says, Mike, why would you say that your thoughts, trust in the man has changed since your time in the war machine? What? Jason Bacon says, Mike, would you say that your thoughts in the man has changed since your time in the war machine? Oh, I think what Jason is saying is, has my thoughts on President Obama changed since I've yes. Well, I mean, listen, I was in the military in 1995 to 99, so I didn't see any war. I was in during the Clinton administration. I always tell everybody, Clinton wasn't dropping bombs, he was dropping loads. Okay, he was dropping bombs too, but I mean, compared to some other presidents, he wasn't dropping as many bombs, you know? He was too busy just trying to get his dick sucked. I think that's what we need. We need to get another president that really wants their fucking dick sucked, you know? And would my thoughts on politics change because I was in the military? I mean, maybe. I think more so because I'm Middle Eastern and Arab, somebody who lived through 9/11, someone who's from one day before 9/11, I woke up an American, proud American, United States Marine veteran. And then the next day, right after 9/11, now I'm some terrorist that has to prove that I'm actually American. I think that's the thing that really opened my eyes up. And like I said to Jeff yesterday, I really think that right now white people are going through kind of the same thing that Arabs went through. We kind of like switch places, right? Like now I turn on the news and it's the white people show. Hey, let's watch these fucked up white people. It's great for Arabs like me, man. I'm happy as fuck. I like, woo, finally. Woo, finally. The load is off me, you know? Now it's focused on white people. But I'm still one of those people that's like, that's still fucked up. I see what's going on. I see the game that's being played because the game was played on me, you know? The media loves to pimp out our racial differences and use it against us. Back in the 80s, you turned on the news and it was all about, hey guys, let the news scare you and show you all these terrible black people that are just scary, doing terrible things in your neighborhood, killing, doing whatever. We're only going to focus on the black criminals. They used black people in the 80s when I was growing up to scare white people into a position. Now, the media is latching on to Black Lives Matter and scaring white people into another position. Scaring white people into feeling like they're racist or they can't do anything but be racist. That you're innately racist. That you got to fucking repent for your racism. That you got to go out of your way and say that you support Black Lives Matter because you're white and you got to prove that you're not racist. After 9/11, I had to prove I was not a terrorist. Now white people have to prove that they're not a racist. So to answer your question, Jason, has the military changed the way I look at stuff? Maybe. I mean, I didn't serve in war. You know, I think being in the machine, you kind of have a clear-headed mind about how the machine works. But yet again, I have friends of mine that were in my platoon, and they just are lining up to suck Trump's dick. Lining the fuck up to suck Trump's dick. And then I try to speak reason into them, and they can't even fucking get it through their goddamn heads. You know what I mean? Like, I made this Twitter post one day that got a lot of likes. Out of, like, all the Twitter posts that I post, this one got a lot of likes. And I asked the military people. I said something to the effect of, people in the military are trained to lead by example. If any one of us had a platoon sergeant that acted like Trump, he would have been the first person we shoot come wartime. That's a fucking fact. If we don't shoot him, we're going to hate that motherfucker. We're going to despise that motherfucker. Because that's not a leader. Trump is not a leader. Obama was a piece of shit in policy, but at least he had leadership qualities. He had the ability to calm people down, bring people together, highlight the fact that we shouldn't be hating other groups and other Americans, you know, for being a specific race or whatever. That's good leadership qualities. That's one thing I'll definitely give Obama. Trump was a piece of fucking shit. One of the worst leaders I've ever witnessed. And I have Marine buddies of mine who are good leaders. And they can't fucking see or even put themselves in the mindset that if Trump was in our unit, he's the first motherfucker to catch a bullet. Let me look through the comments here real quick before I move on to the next topic. Jason Bacon, you went too low. Have your thoughts, trusts change with your time? What? With your time in the military? I know a few that have come out with little to no trust in the government after their time. Well, yeah, I mean, listen, I think coming out of the military made me realize that government is trash, that government is wasteful, government is lazy, everything that we thought was true is not true. There's a lot of lying and bullshit that goes on in government. Like, even in my unit, whenever the colonel or like some big wig brigadier general would come and visit our unit, you know what they would do? They would order all the fat Marines to stay in their rooms. Because it's about posturing. You can't have fat Marines. When you have fat Marines, you have to shame them and try to push them to not be fat. But if you have fat Marines in your unit and your boss is coming, better fucking hide those fatsoes. That's all the government is. That right there that I gave you an example resonates throughout government. That bullshit. Extrapolate that to the Kennedy assassination. Magic bullet? Look up magic bullet. Why is it that when the government deals in conspiracy and then they give us some stupid fucking explanation like magic bullet, we go, oh yeah, guess it was a magic bullet. But imagine if just one black criminal tried to use that as an example. Hey, it was a magic bullet. Bitch, you're catching a magic bullet. So, Hercules says, F these customers trying to watch the podcast. The fuck you talking about, Hercules? Oh, these guys are having a flame war. Okay. All right, well, I'm going to move on to the next topic because I got to get going. Really quick, guys, we got to fucking talk about some really fucking important motherfucking shit, people. I am just look at this. What the fuck? I haven't even cycled through any of these pictures yet. If you guys are watching this live, we're looking at a woman who drew on her eyebrows, but instead of drawing on regular eyebrows, the line for the eyebrows is like a squiggly kind of branch. And then it's got leaves coming out of them, and then the leaves are colored green. So basically, she got like poison ivy as eyebrows. This eyebrow thing is getting out of control, man. Look at this girl right here. She thinks she's Goku from Dragon Ball Z. You know? Get the fuck out of here, man. And here's the thing. What the fuck? Guys, you got to watch this shit live, man. Oh, my God. It's like if Kiss was Latina. The band Kiss. I mean, wow. I know Latina girls take the eyebrow game to a very disturbing level. Okay. This one here is hilarious because it's a picture of a guy with like really weird eyebrows, but I'll give him credit because that's how his eyebrows grow. So basically he has a unibrow on the top of his head, which looks like he's got a mustache on the top of his head, and then he's got the same type of mustache just as a mustache. So when you look at him, it's like he's got two fucking mustaches. And then his girlfriend drew eyebrows on because she had to fucking show up too, you know? She can't be going out with no eyebrows. I mean, okay, well, that's natural. She's just growing her eyebrows natural. And this is the thing. Oh, my God. Really? Really? This lady didn't even put any curvature in her eyebrows. They're just latitude lines. Jesus. Okay. Well, here's the thing that I, oh, my God. I want to keep talking, but as I cycle through these pictures, man. Yo. And here's the thing, man. I don't know if you guys and ladies have noticed, but more and more women are starting to have the most ridiculous eyebrows. And it honestly is fucking up my dating life. I'm not even going to lie. People always wonder why it is that I'm so infatuated with eyebrows. It's because I'm Arab, okay? I come from a long line of people with the most unfortunate eyebrows. You know, for so long, Arabs have been going out of their way to tame their aggressive eyebrows. And right now, every Arab woman around the world is rejoicing because every other woman around the world is now drawing on aggressive eyebrows. So finally, for once in ever, people are, Muslim, Arab girls are just happy as fuck that they don't got to do shit to their eyebrows. You know? These guys are having a flame war on my thing. I have no idea what you guys are getting mad about. Jason, what's popping? Later dude to who? What's popping, man? People mad. Okay. Well, I guess I talked about Obama and people got mad. I can't tell if that's the case or not. Thank you, Bolte. I appreciate you, brother. So I just wanted to say, man, I don't know. I just find it sad that the makeup thing is like gone full steam. You know? I love women. You know, I have many friends of mine that view it the same way. You know, like, I just kind of wish that women had like a no makeup march or some shit just to reset how men look at beauty. I think it's, you know, it's like we're hijacking our senses, you know? I mean, it's already bad enough that you got to watch, you know, photoshopped pictures of models that look nothing like how they actually look in real life. And then it has women looking at those pictures and feeling that they need to pull up to meet that. And then I'm seeing more women showing up with the flexing with the makeup, which forces other women to flex with the makeup. Because it's like, I remember I spoke to a comedian in the Comedy Store a couple of years ago, and we were debating about this. And what did I tell her? I told her, I said, women don't wear makeup to impress men. Women wear makeup to piss each other off. to flex on each other. And she goes, no, that's not the case.
I'm not sure.
Alexa, I'm not talking to you. I just got fucking heckled by Alexa. Anyways, where the fuck was I? Oh, and she told me, she goes, no, I like to wear makeup because I like it. I don't have to wear makeup. And then she started talking about how she was going to be going out with her friends that night. And I was like, oh, yeah, where are you guys going? And she goes, oh, we're going to go to the club. It's going to be great. I'm like, don't wear any makeup. She goes, what? I go, tonight when you go out, don't wear any makeup. And she goes, well, I can't do that. I go, why not? She goes, all my friends are going to be wearing makeup. I can't be hanging out with my friends. They're wearing makeup and I'm not wearing makeup. And I'm like, exactly. It's a flex. I don't know. Like when I talk about this topic, man, sometimes like, you know, girls be getting mad and shit. But for me, you know, like I went on a date with this girl the other night and she had to, you know, she had to, she was like, oh, you know, I need time to get ready. And then I told her I really didn't have much time because I only had like a small window and I still wanted to meet her. And she was like, well, you know, I'm going to have to come out with no makeup. And I was like, that's great. That's everything I want in life. Like just to see a girl look normal. I think the makeup thing hijacks men's senses. Like we have this, this weird view of beauty, because a lot of it is we're visual creatures. We're being hijacked with like Photoshop images of beautiful women. And then in real life, instead of actually getting a reset from that, I'm seeing women going out of their way to change the way they look, you know? And then it like hijacks our senses. It's like they make themselves look so, so perfect with the makeup that they put on. And then when I see them without makeup, I'm like, ugh, you're like a meth head. But they don't. They look normal. Fact is, we're not used to seeing that normal beauty. We're so used to seeing them with so much makeup. Like I had a friend of mine. She's a comedian. She like puts tons of makeup on. She's beautiful. The way she does it is perfect though, mind you. She doesn't overdo it. It looks natural. Then I saw her at the gym one day. I didn't even notice her. I just kept looking at her. I'm like, yo, man, where'd your face go? And that's not right. And to me, I just think that, yo, if we can get women to do just 1 month out of the year worldwide, don't wear any makeup, you know, I think it would be kind of healthy. Something's great about finding a woman that doesn't want to wear makeup and doesn't have Instagram. Woo, man. Talk about getting down on one knee, bruh. You know, but damn it, guys, I kind of want to keep talking, but I have to get going. The time flies with this freaking podcast. Thanks to all you guys that stuck in. Oh, and check it out, man. Public Yemeni t-shirts. I keep forgetting. I never promote these, but you know, this is the old one. It's got white. The one I have now that I'm selling is yellow, but Mike from Detroit.com, copy one. I also got a Drop Bacon Not Bombs t-shirt. I got to like promote more. Anyways, guys, I hope you enjoyed my little rant today. If it pissed you off, so be it. But yeah, I really hope that more people can be a centrist when they're debating, because I think that's where the ideas happen. And we shouldn't allow people to ridicule you for being in the center, especially when it comes to listening. But yeah, bro, next week, 2 p.m. Wednesday, I'll be back on again. I will probably be in Detroit then. This weekend, I will be at Wiley's. I'm headlining Wiley's, and that should be fun. Let me pull up the dates here. I'm doing Wiley's. This Friday and Saturday next week, I'm doing Comedy Castle. Ron White bumped me on three shows. But, you know, it is what it is. June 17th to 19th. So the first three shows, Ron White is headlining, and I'll be opening for him. And then the last two shows that weekend, I'll be headlining. And then the weekend after that, Greenwood, Indiana, Gutty's, June 25th and 26th. Then I'm at the Jewish Ensemble Theater in Detroit the 27th. Back in Hollywood, June 30th, doing Supernova, which is an amazing, amazing outdoor show in Hollywood. If you can make that, that'd be great. That show has heavy hitters on it all the time. Then I'm doing San Diego, Madhouse, July 2nd and 3rd. And then I'm at Laughs Unlimited, July 16th to the 17th. Guys, I love you. I will see you next week. Sometime next week, I'll have a guest. I don't know who it is. It's probably going to be somebody in Detroit. We'll figure it out. If not, Wednesday, 2 p.m. I'll be here. Love you guys.
Public Yemeni number one.